This is Christopher Walken, and you're listening to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. Valuable fantasy football advice with some entertainment thrown in. Hey, Todd, it wouldn't kill you to play some competitive sports once in a while, would it?
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Fantasy Football Helpers Podcast. I'm your host, George Banco. First off, I just want to say, on our Facebook page, people of Nigeria, I mean, this is probably going out to nobody, but we are not a fantasy football website where we basically help you fulfill your dream of becoming a professional soccer player. I know over in Africa and Europe that this is, you know, football means soccer to you, but in America, it's a different thing. I know I probably should have just put American football in our domain name, but oh well, I keep constantly, you'd be surprised, Casey. Casey's joining us live. What's up, Casey?
George, I saw what you were talking about, and I thought you were we had a new revenue stream going with some startup soccer from Nigeria. There, some interesting comments going on.
Exactly, man. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, I tried to give the guy some links to help him out, unfortunately, but I don't think I really helped too much. I don't quite understand it. You'd be surprised at how many people I've gotten who like our Facebook page think we're a soccer website. Unfortunately, I don't know how they get Facebook and stuff, but it's crazy. Anyway, so we wanted to talk. I mean, this is our off-season podcast, our second edition, basically, of the off-season podcast, and we're very happy to have you guys, whether you're visiting us through YouTube or visiting us through Reddit or, you know, Facebook and Twitter, like we always post. We try to get to as many outlets as we possibly can. Now, we are officially up on YouTube, so this podcast will be up there, so you can view it in that form as well. Feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Leave some comments. We always appreciate the feedback, and we love talking to you, even if you can't stand us. So, you know, free reign, free speech, that's what America's about, so that's what we're giving you guys. But like I said, try to keep your comments respectful if you can, that way we can have some good dialogue, because we love talking about this stuff. So, also, DraftKings this week, there's a special Pro Bowl edition, which seems really awesome, because stats are fantastic for Pro Bowls. People are going to not be playing any defense. It's going to be some high-scoring affairs, so we're going to be posting a link to the Pro Bowl Daily Fantasy League, so if you want to, click through our site for that, and they kick us a little bit of money, and it helps us keep the servers on and all that jazz. So we appreciate any support we can give you. Today, though, on our podcast, let's get into it. We got some great stuff to talk to you guys about today. Mainly the continued coaching shuffle. Now, the big hires are mostly over in terms of the head coaches. There's still some teams that are straggling, still haven't figured out who's going to be their next coach. But there was some big name offensive coordinator signings a couple days ago, and we're going to talk a lot about those, specifically the Denver Broncos and the Chicago Bears, and also a sneaky good hire for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to get into all that, Casey and I will, and let's just kick it off right now. I mean, there's some really intriguing ones here. Now, Casey, why don't you start us off with the Denver Broncos? Is that the one you started off with? That's who I started with anyway.
Yeah, let's start with them. Let me just say that I'm excited to talk about these guys, because I mean,
yes.
Last week, trust me, I was excited last week as well, but we were talking about Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles, and we were trying to squeeze some value out of those situations. And
yes,
what we're about to talk about, I mean, there's a ton of value going on all over the place.
These are game changers.
They're offensive minded, and
yes,
this is just an exciting situation to talk about.
So, absolutely. As I was taking notes, I was getting more and more excited. Like, oh, wait till I tell him this. But anyway, let's start talking about Denver first off, and Gary Kubiak along with Mark Trestman.
All right. So, Gary Kubiak. No, Mark Trestman is in Baltimore.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I meant to say? Hang on a second.
Denver's still waiting for an offensive coordinator.
Okay.
We got Kubiak, and we know he'll be running the show.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about Gary Kubiak and what he brings to the table. They're going to be running, basically, I imagine, his style of offense anyway in Denver. So let's just talk about kind of what he did. This guy is a magician with running backs, by the way. I'm sure, Casey, you know that by now after watching him in Baltimore this past year and with Houston and with the Denver Broncos previously. So let's talk a little bit about what do you think Gary Kubiak is going to bring to Denver in terms of fantasy value and overall team value for 2015?
So Adam Gase was the exciting guy in Denver, and he left, and John Fox left, and we didn't know what to expect. But you know what? I don't think Denver's dropping off at all, because Kubiak, I mean, he started out in Denver with Mike Shanahan. That's where he made his name, and I mean, he's an offensive machine he was as a coordinator and as a head coach for Houston. He did a great job, and what we're going to see there is a heavy dose of the run, I think, and it's really a good time for it with Peyton Manning getting older. I mean, we're assuming he's back. So with him getting older, I think it'll help him that there'll be more of a focus on the run game. And I'm really excited, obviously, for C.J. Anderson, the number one running back in the second half of last year. I could see him getting even better or sustaining that kind of value with Kubiak, with that that one cut and run scheme that he has with the zone blocking. I mean, he's going to be tremendous, and that's the biggest story there. As far as wide receivers go, Demaryius Thomas, he's been huge. He's going to continue to be huge, maybe even bigger, because in Kubiak's offenses, I mean, Andre Johnson was the guy. I mean, he would get over 100 catches. There wouldn't really be a second guy dominating catches from the wide receiver position. So we could be seeing a huge amount of targets for Demaryius and a big drop-off, not like this year where Sanders was getting a lot of looks and Demaryius and Julius Thomas in the beginning of the year was getting looks, but I could see Demaryius really dominating those touches.
Also, I mean, Julius Thomas might not even be a Bronco. There's still some talks about him possibly leaving for free agency. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Remember, Emmanuel Sanders didn't really start to get going until he had that big three touchdown explosion on that Thursday night game. I believe that was against San Diego. I could be wrong, but anyway, yeah, I totally agree. The thing with Kubiak, I mean, Peyton Manning wanted to actually go to play in Houston when Kubiak was there, but they were kind of set on Matt Schaub as their quarterback. This was when Peyton Manning was trying to figure out where to go after, you know, he announced this, he was leaving the Colts after those neck surgeries. So, you know, Peyton Manning was having, like, I don't know. Basically, yeah, Peyton Manning, that was the big concern, was that Peyton Manning and Gary Kubiak weren't going to get along because, you know, they don't understand each other's style very much. But, I mean, if Peyton Manning wanted to go to Houston to be coached by Gary Kubiak while he was there, then I can't imagine, you know, these guys aren't going to have great chemistry in Denver. So I think that kind of alleviates that concern. Now, I just want to talk about Gary Kubiak. This guy, if we're talking about, you know, guys who can resurrect quarterbacks in this podcast, we got to talk about Gary Kubiak and how he can resurrect running backs. Now, keep in mind, the Ravens' run game last year was in shambles. I mean, Ray Rice, career low, averaging in the 3.5, 3.4 range yards per carry. Looked like he was basically done. That offensive line did not block very well in 2013. They bring in Kubiak, and they go out and they get Eugene Monroe for cheap at tackle. And obviously they got him a great deal. Then they got him for a great deal, rather. And then they get, you know, some of these rookies like Herschel from Penn State. I mean, he filled in well, especially when, you know, there were some injuries up there. Flacco ends up having, you know, one of his best seasons at quarterback, was sacked the least amount of times, arguably the best season of his career overall. And then you have, you know, obviously the big one, which is Justin Forsett, who, you know, ended up having a career season, had 1,266 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean, he had 16 touchdowns his entire career, and he had 8 last year, or in 2014. So, yeah, this is incredible to me, because I think C.J. Anderson could be big. And we haven't even gotten into talks about, you know, what Kubiak did when he had Terrell Davis. I'll just give you a quick some numbers here in a second. But what do you think right now of what Kubiak has done in the past three seasons, and what's your overall opinion on it?
Yeah, I mean, this past season in Baltimore was tremendous. I mean, Joe Flacco's always been a great postseason quarterback, but now you're right, he did have probably his best regular season with 27 touchdowns and only 12 picks, and he's gotten incredible years out of Matt Schaub. He's gotten incredible years. He got a really good year out of Ryan Fitzpatrick. He got a really good year out of Jake Plummer a while ago. So, I mean, Gary Kubiak knows how to get the most out of his quarterback, and then the running game is just, he's a genius when it comes to that. So, I'm excited for Denver. I think it's a perfect time. Maybe Peyton Manning a few years ago didn't want to be with Kubiak because Manning still had it all back then. I mean, his arm was fine. He was still maybe the top quarterback in the game. I think this could actually prolong Peyton Manning's career. And if they're a bit more conservative and he doesn't have to do as much, but mean, you know he'll show up in the big spots and make the throws when he has to, but if he doesn't have to be the main guy all game long, I mean, it's really only going to produce something beautiful in Denver.
Absolutely, and I'm glad we're both in agreement that Peyton Manning shouldn't be the guy, you know, throwing, you know, 50 touchdowns a year like he was, you know, in 2013. So I'm just trying to – I want to know what you think of C.J. Anderson's value now with Kubiak. Obviously, that offense is amazing. I'll just go over some of these numbers right now. When he was in Denver from 95 well, starting in 95, Terrell Davis, his best years came in 1996, 97, and 98. Here are his numbers. He had 1,538 yards, 13 touchdowns in 96, 1,750 yards in 97, 15 touchdowns. And in 1998, he had 2,008 yards and 21 touchdowns, his best year. Arian Foster in 2010, 1,616 yards, 16 touchdowns. 2011, 1,224 yards, 10 touchdowns. And then 2012, 1,424 yards, 15 touchdowns. You get the picture. Every running back this guy has touched has pretty much turned to gold for the most part. I don't know what you think about CJ. And how much of an increase in his fantasy value for 2015 do you think this hire makes?
I can't say it's going to go way up because the guy was already the best in the second half of this year, but it's going to stay there, which is something I couldn't have said before. He's going to be a top five guy. This solidifies that. You rattled off some impressive stats, but you're talking about Terrell Davis and you're talking about Arian Foster. I'm more impressed by what this guy got out of Justin Forsett.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed by what he got out of Mike Anderson. And I'm more impressed by what he got out of Olandon Gary back in the day. I mean,
yeah.
This guy makes every running back incredible. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
C.J. Anderson has a great amount of talent, which it looks like it does. He could be on that Arian Foster or Terrell Davis path and be a top 3 to 5 running back again. And I would not hesitate to take him in the first round, probably in the first half of the first round.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he'd be probably good around that 6 to 11 range in a 12-team redraft league. That's probably where I would aim to take him right now. Although I might even take him higher. I mean, the one big thing you got to remember, though, is I mean, the running back situation is still almost a committee style. You have Monty Ball there. I don't know what's going to become of Ronnie Hillman, but with Monty Ball still in the fold, I think right now Denver is probably sure that Monty Ball is not going to be the guy, but they could still work him in goal line situations. He's a big back. I don't know how that's going to take away from Anderson's value, as you know, we'll obviously monitor that more throughout the offseason as you know more facts come out in terms of what Denver is looking to do with their running backs. But yeah, I think C.J. Anderson, so much as long as Monty Ball is not, you know, eating into too much of his carries, I don't see any problem taking this guy as an RB1.
If someone wanted to take him first, I wouldn't complain about it. I really,
really? Overall, first overall pick.
I don't recommend it first, but if it happened, I wouldn't say it's a bad pick. Think of Monty Ball as the Ben Tate. That's what I'm going to say right now.
Yeah.
He's the Ben Tate. Ben Tate had a good year. He was always great when Foster went down or if there was a blowout, he would get a lot of touches and do well. But I'm going to say that C.J. Anderson's the Foster. He's going to catch balls, too. Don't forget that. And Monty Ball is going to be the Ben Tate who is annoying sometimes to C.J. Anderson's value, but really won't impact him being in the top 3 to 5 running backs.
I think that's a really good assessment and more likely how it's going to go down exactly in 2015. So I really think that's good. All right, well, now that we got basically into him, what do you think this means for, you know, the tight ends? I mean, Gary Kubiak is known for that two tight end set, especially in Baltimore. I mean, we saw what it did, you know, for Owen Daniels. It basically turned him into a touchdown upside, you know, tight end two. And even this guy, Gilmore, or Crockett Gilmore, whose name I love, I don't know if it sounds like a war general's name or something, but even he caught a touchdown in the postseason. So what do you think this does for the tight ends?
If it's Julius Thomas, then I'm really excited about it. Well, it remains to be seen whether or not they spend the money on him because he's earned himself some money. But regardless, I mean, in Houston, he deployed the Owen Daniels and Joel Dreesen combination.
Yes.
And that was always, you get a touchdown there every now and then from Dreesen. And Owen Daniels made it up. He had in 2012, he was as high as the 9th tight end. So maybe there won't be one dominant tight end, but if it is, if Julius Thomas is there, or if there's a big name tight end that does go there, I'll be excited for that, for, to have that player.
Absolutely. Me too. Now, is there any doubt that Peyton Manning, I mean, we still think he's going to play at a decently high level, right?
If he's on the field, he's playing at a high level, especially in this offense. I almost want to compare it to what happened this year when Romo got hurt and they really went hard at the run game, and it made Romo like a better player because it was less predictable what he was going to do. I think Peyton Manning's going to be more effective, especially late in the season, if they go run first and they're dominating in the run game. I mean, they're going to eat teams alive with the play action if C.J. Anderson gets going the way I think he will.
Absolutely. I mean, they still got a good offensive line. Ryan Clady, a Pro Bowl tackle. You think this line could block in a way similar to what Dallas blocked this year? That's kind of the big key when you want to become a running team, I would say, kind of like Denver did.
I think Orlando Franklin's a free agent. I think Ryan Clady's great. I think they do have a great offensive line. They've always protected Manning. He never really gets sacked or touched. And that's going to stay the same. And Kubiak knows how to coach the line too. So I'm excited for Manning. I don't think he'll be a top three quarterback anymore. I can see him being more in the 5-6 range. I think he'll still put up numbers. Remember, I mean, we're talking about it like it's the end of his career. He was probably he was the number three quarterback this year. So as much as we want to say bad things about him, he had a couple bad games at the end of the year, a few bad ones, but he's still a top guy. He's still a top NFL guy. He's still a top fantasy guy. But the run game is what's really going to take a huge step forward here.
Absolutely. Totally agree. And I think the big concern with Manning is more the injury factor than anything. I think we all know he's going to play well as long as he's healthy. The problem is, you know, obviously that quad injury at the end of the year. You just have to wonder if he's one bad hit away from never being the same again. I mean, that just tends to happen sometimes with these guys. They kind of burn out. We kind of saw it happen with Favre. They would get done with the season, and they would just be like, man, like that season felt like three seasons, and I think we're getting to that point with Peyton Manning. Now, the guy's just getting up there.
We'll see. I mean, ever since he came back from that neck injury, I think he's been one hit away since then. And,
I agree.
It's been all great since then.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I'm really excited about this offense, too. C.J. Anderson, we got him basically locked in as a number one running back. Whether he goes in the, you know, top five or the bottom ten, or the, you know, top ten, rather, it doesn't seem to matter. He's definitely the one who benefits the most from this signing. Now, let's switch gears, because I want to talk a little bit about this next team, which somehow landed some really, really good coaches, and that's the Chicago Bears. Now, John Fox, we already kind of knew, was going to be the head coach. That happened last week. We'll talk a little bit about him. But currently the big get that they got just a couple days ago was Adam Gase. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I just found this fascinating, considering how bad the Bears were this year, that they were able to get these coaches. I mean, what was your general take when you first, your initial reaction when you first saw
that? Yeah, this was a huge get for the Bears. I mean, Adam Gase was all... had it all but locked up all year. You heard that he was the next big head coach, and somehow he slipped through the cracks. I don't know if he's just gets nervous during interviews or what, but Adam Gase, he's back to being an offensive coordinator, and he sticks with John Fox, and the Bears have a bunch of weapons on offense. They lose Trestman, so you think that all the fantasy value is going to be gone from these guys, because Trestman was a guy that put up all these crazy offensive numbers. Now you get Gase in there, and it's like a breath of fresh air. It's another offensive genius with more creativity going on. I don't know who the quarterback's going to be, so that's gonna depend on a lot. I hope it's Cutler, because I mean the guy
could
throw the ball, he could sling it, but they're not committing to him. So we will see about that. But the weapons in Chicago, they're not all that much different than the weapons in Denver. I mean, Alshon could be the Demarius. I don't know what Brandon Marshall's status is. He is a restricted free agent. The new coaches will want to bring him back and give him a shot. But if they bring Brandon Marshall in, I mean, that's another guy who's just as talented as the guys on Denver. Martellus Bennett, another huge talent. So, Matt Forte, I mean,
yes.
There's talent all over the place. I'm excited for all these guys. They were all great last year. I think they're all going to be great this year. I don't know how much their fantasy value changes. They were all incredible.
Well, Brandon Marshall had a down year for him, but just because of his injury. But, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey was still a top 15 receiver. Matt Forte was a top 5 running back. Martellus Bennett was a very solid tight end 2, borderline tight end 1 at times. Jay Cutler finished, I have his numbers right here, I think he was 14th overall in fantasy points for quarterbacks. Which he had 249 fantasy points. It's kind of inexcusable though when you think about how, you know, obviously, you know, not just the contract, the fact that he's the highest paid player in the league, but I mean he's got great talent around him. Cutler does, and there's no reason why he shouldn't be a better quarterback than he is, and not be, you know, in the top 10, maybe even in, you know, the top 5. I think this guy has one really good season in him. And how many times have we seen this? I mean, you mentioned in your Matthew Stafford article earlier this week, you know, Matthew Stafford had a monster season. I think it was in 2011 where he was kind of elite for a little while. And maybe Jay Cutler is never going to be consistently elite, but I think he's got that potential, not unlike maybe Tony Romo did in Dallas for the longest time, and it just was a matter of getting the right, you know, the right lineman around him and maybe shifting the offensive philosophy a little bit in a way that would put less pressure on him and gear more towards the run game. I really do believe that Jay Cutler is just one shift away from being, you know, an elite quarterback. And obviously for fantasy purposes, we know this guy can sling it. I mean, he's got one of the best arms in the league. Finished with 28 touchdowns this year, 18 picks. Obviously the interceptions are a problem, but he threw a touchdown in every game but the last game of the season. So this guy throws a touchdown every game. He gives you something. And it's definitely frustrating when you see some of his yardage numbers at times. And that general attitude that he carries around, like he's not really into it, he's not engaged. But I totally agree with you when you say that this Adam Gase could be a big game changer for him. Another thing that's interesting to me with the Chicago Bears is Mike Fox is the first coach that they've had since 1958 that was actually a head coach before coming to the Chicago Bears and being their head coach. So they've always hired defensive coordinators in the past and assistants. Obviously, Lovie Smith, Mike Ditka was an assistant with Dallas. David Wannstedt was a coordinator with Dallas. Dick Geron was a defensive coordinator with the Lions. And the list kind of goes on and on. But it's good that they have a head coach, especially a head coach like Fox, who's been really successful in the past. I think he's going to bring some of that over. And obviously, Fox has coached, you know, 2 Super Bowls now. So I really think that just his general experience and his success is a good thing that could possibly rub off on the Chicago Bears. But now, let's just talk a little bit about Adam Gase's offensive philosophy, Casey. What do you deduce based on what you've researched about Gase's style and how it can be implemented with this Bears team?
I mean, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, he had Peyton Manning as his quarterback, and Manning at this stage of his career, he's not capable of everything. I mean, there's a lot of short passes and slot guys and some quick slants, and it works great. It remains to be seen if that's what they stick with here in Chicago, or if they have a Cutler who can throw the ball downfield, if they're going to try to do some more deep patterns. I would like if they stuck to that shorter game with quick hits, because it'll limit Cutler's turnovers and it'll make the game simple for him.
See, that's where I disagree. But, I totally disagree with that, but keep going.
but Gase could actually, I mean, he could probably do more with Cutler as well. So I think it's unlimited what could happen. I will say this, though. Gase, he looked great. He had Peyton Manning. He also had an offensive line with multiple Pro Bowlers on the line.
Yeah.
Chicago's offensive line has been brutal. It is brutal for a while. It's the reason why Cutler does have this many turnovers. It's the reason why he's on his back all the time. It's going to be a struggle. That's the one thing I'll say. It's going to be a struggle going from the perfect team that was pretty much set up for a Super Bowl run in Denver to a Chicago team which is really shaky on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I totally agree. I think that's another reason why Matt Forte is so valuable to them, because of his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield on those quick, you know, those quick what do you call them? Basically, the wheel routes, I guess, is what they call it when you just run out of the backfield down the sideline. That was a huge factor in their offense and really made Forte one of the best fantasy options for PPR purposes. That's just a big reason why, you know, he was any bit of value, because he definitely didn't do it too much in the rushing game. I mean, he had a lot of rushing yards, but touchdown-wise, he wasn't that efficient. So I agree with you. If they can get an offensive line that can run block just a little bit, obviously it's going to extrapolate Forte's value, and in turn it'll extrapolate Cutler's fantasy value just because, you know, he'll have more time to throw. Now, remember, Cutler always has, you know, he has an interception basically every game too. And do you think the offensive line, if they short it up a little bit, could maybe eliminate some of those bad picks that Cutler makes? Or do you think it's more Cutler's fault when you watch the film?
No, I think it is. It's a mixture. I'm not going to say it's all the offensive line or all Cutler, but their offensive line, I mean, he has guys on top of him in a second a lot of the time. I mean, and when that's going on, you just don't have a lot of confidence. You're looking over your shoulder. You're not able to step up and know where that your offensive lineman is going to protect you. I mean, I think there's a lot that goes into playing this position that you need to trust your line, and he just hasn't been able to do that in the last 3-4 years, and it's made him rush some throws. It's made him not go through his progressions like he should. And I think if they can shore up that line, then you're going to see something special.
Awesome. Yeah, and going back to what you said earlier that I disagreed with, I actually think Cutler is a long ball thrower. I think that's his biggest strength. And obviously, you know, the plays that he's made, you know, he hasn't been able to do that enough. They've always kind of made him try to be more of a, you know, a guy who throws, you know, the short passes like you just said. And I just think that if you give this guy some time and just let him chuck it, I mean, he's got great receivers with Alshon Jeffery, and hopefully Brandon Marshall will be healthier. And we haven't even mentioned Marquise Wilson yet, another great underrated young player who kind of started to become more of a focal point once Marshall got hurt. He caught a touchdown in the game. You know, he's an up-and-coming guy. So there's tons of weapons here. I think there's speed around the outside. If Cutler let him chuck the ball more, and hopefully Gase will allow that to happen, because that's kind of when you get the huge games. And for fantasy purposes, or just money, you get those 300-yard games. You know, you get like an 80-yard touchdown. I don't know when the last time Cutler had like a gigantic touchdown pass, but I mean, he makes those throws. He can make them, and he, like I said, he's 31 years old, so he's got plenty of time still left in his career. Now, he's on the second half of it, but you know, he's still in his prime. I don't think his arm strength is going to go away at all at any time soon. So I'm just really convinced that you give Cutler his strength, and that is chucking the ball down the field. But I guess that's just my opinion on it.
No, I mean, I do agree. I do agree. And but what I'm actually more excited about too is that compared to Trestman, I think Gaze's route combinations, I mean, some of these plays, they produce guys that are just so wide open. I mean,
yeah, right.
With Trestman, it was Alshon Jeffery making a play. It was Brandon Marshall making a play, because they're big and they can box out people and they're just that good. But if you could get those guys wide open in space, I can't imagine what type of plays these guys are going to make.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Gase's offense, you got Julius Thomas running by himself. You got Emmanuel Sanders all alone. I mean, if Cutler could hit the long ball with Alshon Jeffery and hit Marshall and Bennett on these wide open plays where on crossing patterns or slants where they're going to be all alone, it could be something really fun to watch.
Absolutely. And I think everybody wants this to happen really bad. So that could be coming out a little bit when I talk about Cutler, because I do want that guy to do well, because he does have immense talent. So he is a little bit like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting. I mean, it's just about finding the right person who can really reach him and get him to play to his best of his abilities. And I think Gase is probably the best bet we've seen so far in terms of that coaching staff. Obviously, Lovie Smith, you know, that guy was a defensive-minded head coach. And John Fox is a little bit more defensive, too. But with Adam Gase, I mean, that guy has been successful. And keep in mind, in 2011 with Tim Tebow, I mean, they basically geared that whole offense around him. And I'm sure Tim Tebow had a lot of say in the plays they ran too. I mean, they focused on the Wildcat because he was a rushing quarterback. And, you know, but I think they also helped improve Tebow's passing mechanics just a little bit. I mean, you remember watching that Pittsburgh game. He did hit some strikes. And, you know, obviously Tim Tebow's out of the league now, and we all know that his arm was never good enough to be consistent, and he eventually got cut by the Patriots in 2013. But, you know, it says something about him being able to work with Tim Tebow and make him a guy who won a playoff game with Denver against a decent Pittsburgh team. I'll say that.
Yeah, I think that that could sum up a guy's whole resume right there. I went 9-7 with Tim Tebow, and I won a playoff game. Done deal. I'm the next head coach. I mean,
I'm surprised he didn't get a head coaching job.
That should have been it.
I know. And Peyton Manning has given glowing reviews on this guy too. And coming from a guy like Peyton Manning, I don't think he would say that if he didn't really mean it. Peyton Manning, obviously, almost a coach in his own right. The way he can, you know, make changes at the line and you know, run hot routes and whatnot. So, I think right now Adam Gase is the best possible hire. I think maybe overall our conclusions with these two teams. I mean, Denver, they're set. They have the talent. It's just a matter of just when, not you know, if it's going to happen. And then with Chicago, you still got some problems on the offensive line that they're going to need to figure out. Is that basically what we're saying? It's a little uncertain right now with Jay Cutler. We have to stay tuned.
I guess so, but you know, like you just said it. I want it to be Cutler. They're not committing to it. I wish they would have came out and said, Cutler's going to have a new start. And he's going to be our quarterback. I mean, they're not saying anything like that. They're not committing to him. He can't feel great about the situation right now. Hmm. And the free agents out there, I mean, the best one seems to be like a Mark Sanchez, and that's not going to work.
No, definitely not.
Unless they're working up a trade or unless they plan on they don't have such a high draft pick that they could just go into the draft and get it stud. But, I mean, I really hope they stick to Cutler.
I think they're in a situation similar to what Dallas was in this year. I mean, the quarterbacks coming out of the draft, there's really only two good ones that are maybe first-round caliber. And you maybe throw Hundley in there. You got Brent Hundley and Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. I mean, obviously, if they don't get those guys, I don't see anybody starting. I don't think they're going to land one in free agency. I think they're kind of stuck with Cutler, for better or worse. And I think they have to think that they can do something with this guy just based on his talent. They got egos, right? They're coaches.
I would think so. Usually, if you have talent, if you see talent like that, they should at least back him up. I mean, I could see why someone like Geno Smith isn't being backed up. He hasn't shown a good piece of film really.
Yeah.
Since college. I mean, you're not going to back up a guy like that, but back up Cutler. I mean, give him a vote of confidence. Take a look. He's going to be your starting quarterback. So get on board. I mean, Brandon Marshall probably would like that too, and I'm sure you'd like to have him back as well. So. I think they should try to retain all these guys.
Absolutely. And I think, all right, so Jay Cutler, you got to pick him up. QB1 or QB2?
He's always been that borderline QB1, QB2 option. You said he finished 14th this year, but I actually think when he went out, when he got replaced as the starting quarterback, he was ninth. Wow. So you had a guy getting benched as the ninth fantasy quarterback. So I'm going to say... on the border, somewhere between the 10th and the 13th.
That's copping out, though. You're saying...
I don't call the 10th quarterback a QB1. I call it, like, a matchup play.
Okay.
The only QB1s to me are the guys who are starting every week, and that's, like, the top 7. That's, like, the top... Someone that you won't even think. You just put him in your lineup and don't think about it. Cutler's not that.
So you're leaning towards him as a QB2, then, I take it. And I agree with you. I think he's still a QB2. We'll keep an eye out for if the Bears try to shore up that offensive line. I don't know where the real weaknesses are, but currently I totally agree with you based on what we've seen of him. That's the big problem. So if they can somehow get some offensive linemen to help him out, I think his value might spike up a little bit more and make him more of a certainty in terms of being a dark horse in 2015. He's been a dark horse like every year, so maybe this will be the year. But all right, well, now we've talked about we've covered Chicago and Denver. Let's talk about our last guy here. This guy is actually somebody who has been really well known for changing quarterbacks or making quarterbacks better, rather, and that's Greg Olsen, who just became the offensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, a team that, you know, just fired their offensive coordinator earlier in the offseason, basically right afterwards, because they just were not satisfied with Blake Bortles' progress. And, Blake Bortles was the first quarterback taken in the 2014 NFL draft. So, and his numbers just were not where they needed to be through a lot of picks. I've never had one game where he really just kind of put something together that resembled a guy who could be a starter in the league. But, you know, the talent is there with this guy. His arm is good. He's big. He could take hits. He's durable. So this is an interesting hire. I want to know what you think about it, Casey.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get as excited when you hear Greg Olsen as when you hear Gase or Kubiak or anything like that. But it's because he's just been on some unheralded teams before. And I'm excited for the hire. I think he's done an incredible job with the quarterbacks he's had, especially for who they are. I mean, He made Josh Freeman a Pro Bowler. Josh Freeman had 25 touchdowns and 6 interceptions in his best year under Olsen. And he had another year where he wasn't as good, but had 27 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. When you're talking about fantasy, I mean, that's a QB one or a matchup play there. And if Bortles could take any sort of step forward to have a touchdown total in the 20 to 25 range with a good amount of yards, I mean, that's going to be huge. The other quarterbacks, he's made Matt McGloin relevant. He's made Terrell Pryor decent. And I think the most impressive thing, and it's not getting noticed at all, not enough at all, Derek Carr had a nice year.
I mean, yeah, he did. He did.
21 touchdowns and 12 interceptions for a rookie. I mean, no one's talking about it because the Raiders are kind of a joke and they'd be out of every game, basically. And it wasn't because of Derek Carr. I mean, sure, they did a lot of dink and dunk and they were pretty conservative a lot of the time.
You almost have to be in that offense, though, with no playmakers.
For any rookie quarterback to have 21 to 12, it's a really fine year from a rookie, and I'm impressed that Olsen was able to do that. And just talking about Carr for a second, it's disappointing for Carr that he doesn't get to improve with Olsen as his coordinator. We'll talk about their coordinator next week, but I'm excited for Bortles to finally to have someone. I'm excited for Jacksonville really to finally have someone who could propel their offense into something relevant. It hasn't been relevant really since like the Mark Brunell and the Byron Leftwich days, and it was barely relevant then.
Absolutely, and just like the Jags' offense they're kind of like a treasure chest to me. I mean, they have there's some great gold nuggets buried in there. But there's no key to open it, and I think Blake Bortles, if he can get going, it's gonna make all these guys their talent really show. I mean, he's got Denard Robinson, who really came out last year and played really well. Allen Robinson, the wide receiver from Penn State, ended up getting injured early in the season. He's got a mountain of potential. We talk about this rookie wide receiver class so much, but Allen Robinson was actually a guy who was on pace to do, you know, put up some pretty good numbers. Probably could have came close to 1,000 yards. Probably not so much, though, actually, now that I think about it. But maybe around the 600-700-yard mark he was on pace for, maybe 7-8 touchdowns. Just a really good player who's got everything. He's got the speed. His vertical leap is incredible. Allen Robinson's got a ton of potential. Probably the best fantasy skill player on that team, in my opinion. If Blake Bortles can get going at all, start chucking some deep balls to him with a little bit more accuracy, just look a little bit more comfortable back there. Obviously, Greg Olsen will probably help that. He's done it in the past. And then, we haven't even talked about Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns, who was a great deep threat for them, had 2 touchdowns in the first half in the opener against Philadelphia, which was, you know, really impressive for a very first game for a rookie. So I think Allen Hurns is another guy who flashes some good flex potential. I consider Allen Robinson to be more of a wide receiver 3, possibly wide receiver 2, depending on how Blake Bortles plays. But I think those guys are really just have a real chance to improve if Bortles can improve.
I agree, and we're going to see fantasy value from at least 2 of those guys, I'm going to say.
2 of them?
It's rare because it's Jacksonville, and they've been a joke, but I think we're going to see 2 of those guys have some sort of flex or wide receiver 3 appeal. I think Allen Robinson would be my top choice, and Marquise Lee really put together a nice end of the year. He was way more consistent than Allen Hurns. Hurns was kind of a boomer bust. I think Marquise Lee, it would be my next choice. Denard Robinson, we'll see, because Olsen, I think he, in the past, he's gone to a bigger back, or at least maybe 2 backs.
Great point.
McFadden-Bush combo, and then LeGarrette Blount on Tampa had a really nice year for him. So I could see them maybe trying to get a bigger back. I don't know if Gerhardt's going to stick around or if they'll try to get someone else. But
also Steven Jackson, too. In the mid-2000s, he had Steven Jackson. That was another one that he used with the Rams. And, you know, we talked about the quarterbacks. I mean, Mark Bulger, you know, basically a backup, turned him into a Pro Bowl, a 4,000-yard passer. And I think it was some stat I read, 4,000. It was the first team to ever have a 4,000-yard passer and a running back rush for over 1,500 yards. So, I mean, that's really impressive. This guy has done some really, really good things with some teams, with some talent that maybe people didn't think, you know, was as good on paper as it ended up being. So I totally agree. I think this is actually – this could actually be one of the biggest, most underrated offseason hires of the year, especially with a guy like Bortles. So we continued – I watched a ton of him on film because I'm intrigued by the guy, and I just think there's so much potential there with his arm and his size that if anybody can fix it, it's this guy based on his past.
It's just I agree, and it's important from a fantasy perspective that Jacksonville – becomes relevant again. I mean, it's another three to five players that weren't really rosterable before. I mean, you couldn't get any stats from Bortles and any of these Jacksonville guys for a few years now. And I mean,
other than Maurice Jones-Drew, yeah.
Not since like the Jones-Drew and Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell days did you really have three guys at the same time on Jacksonville relevant. And I think we're about to get back there with Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, and whoever the running back is. I mean, Greg Olsen's going to put this together.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man. Well, that about concludes our podcast for this week. We appreciate you guys for listening. As always, Casey, it's fantastic stuff you give us, and we will talk to you next week.
Alright, thanks again, George.
Alright.
You've just listened to the Fantasy Football Helpers podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Now give me a big bowl of pie with some ice cream on it.